your spirit in this place this morning. Holy Ghost is definitely here. It's such an honor to be here. The greatest thing God ever did for me besides giving me the Holy Ghost was giving me the mercy to preach the gospel. I'm so thankful to be a part of the church. Aren't you this morning? Just thank you to be a part of what God is doing. And give honor to your pastor and love him. Mrs. Rosa very much. Cutting in with some call of ministry here. Elder Brother Mrs. Rosa. Hasten. Looking forward to what God has for us this morning.
Amen.
Normally, when we come here, we only do revival. And so we've got one service today. So I am going to just, with one service, I'm going to preach to anybody that needs the Holy Ghost or needs to be baptized in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I really feel like the Lord has directed this service for a reason. This church is obviously growing. Look around you. There's just so many new faces and such an atmosphere here. And I know your pastor is working hard. Are you thankful for the man of God? After prayer meeting last night, I got back to my room and I just told the Lord, I said, I wish I could have about 10 more hours to sit at the table with him and just glean so much wisdom. And I'm 29 years old, but I know that that you know when you're in the presence of someone that's got a lot of wisdom. And I was last night. I'm thankful for him and love him very, very much. Psalm chapter 20, Acts chapter 8. Psalm chapter 20, Acts chapter 8. Let's see, show us. Amen. Psalm 20, Acts chapter 8. Got it back up a little bit. Verse number 5. Amen. Thank you. We will rejoice in thy salvation in the name of our God who will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Say, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Acts chapter 8. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 8. We're going to read verse number 35 through verse number 38. Thank you. Then Philip opened his mouth and began to sing scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. I want to preach on the subject this morning, the horses of hell. The horses of hell. Jesus, loose your anointing and your authority in this place. I pray that you would send conviction to the hearts that need it. I pray you would send salvation to anybody lost, deliverance to anybody bound, healing to anybody sick, strength to anybody weak, freedom to anybody in captivity. I pray for joy to those who are sad and burdened. I pray today that you would uplift all those in the name of Jesus Christ with your word. And somebody lift up your voice and clap your hands and thank the Lord. Wranglers, and I said, no, I got some buckle jeans. I don't have any Wranglers, but those will do, I'm sure. So we went out to his house, and we saw these horses, and he had 10 of them, and I watched them, and they're quite large when you get right next to them. And I said, dude, this is great. This reminds me of a moose in Alaska growing up. And so I never rode a moose, but I said, well, this should be no problem. And so he pulls out this one horse, and her name was Star. He said, this is the oldest horse I have. And saddle her up, you ride around the yard a little bit. I said, okay. So I got on Star, and we rode around, and she was real nice and calm and gentle. I said, this is easy. I said, I'm ready to go. Let's go ride. He said, no. He said, that's the horse your wife's going to ride. You're going to ride Sonny, a.k.a. Satan. I said, which one's Sonny? He said, the one that's bucking up in the over there. He's a great rider. I said, I'd rather just ride Star. He said, but that's a girl saddle you're in. I said, oh, well, we can take it off and put it on something else, and I'll just ride her bareback. It's fine. I'll walk her. I don't care. He said, no, I want you to ride Sonny. I said, okay. So my wife got on Star. She was having her little time going around the yard. Sonny came up, and he tried to saddle him, and he didn't want to get saddled. And he had a little temper, and he said, I don't know why he's acting like that. He's normally really calm. And I said, yeah, sure he is. Can't wait to get on him here. So we finally got the saddle on him, and I rode him around the yard. He kind of twisted a little bit, and I rode him around, and he said, take him one more time. I'm going to saddle up my horse, and we'll go for a ride. I said, all right. So he said, you're doing good, but when you got to get on to him more. You got to command him what to do. I said, I have to command him what to do. He said, right. I said, gotcha. So we're riding around the yard, and I'm waiting for him to saddle up, and he started doing his thing, and I said, no, you knock it off. And when I did that, he went crazy. He started bucking and grooming. I broke 3 ribs. I landed on the ground. He smashed me. I crushed my hip. He's trying to stomp on me. I tried to roll off, and I literally could not walk for days. I had to walk. I had 3 broken ribs, and I had to preach that night. And I just told him, I said, you know, I'm thinking about canceling the revival. I can't move. Yeah, command him. When I commanded him, he almost killed me. I said, I thought I was in control of him. He said, I don't know what happened. He's never done that before. I said, okay. Thank you very much. So glad to come to Louisiana. But I thought about it afterwards. You know, I thought I was in control. I clearly wasn't. I thought I wouldn't get hurt, even if I fell. By the way, when you fall from a horse, it hurts. And it hurts bad. And I thought it wouldn't really, you know, be a big deal. But when I landed, I realized, oh my goodness, I'm going to die. And he really didn't like me. Sin is that way. You think you're in control. And you think you can just work around this and that, and it kind of just throws you once in a while.
Right.
You get caught up in sin, and it's bigger than you are. Yeah. It may seem small and insignificant, but it's bigger than you think it is. I heard a preacher say one time, I may have told this here, that he said he had this black curtain, he was preaching to young people, and they were all shouting, they were all around the altar. He had this big curtain, and he was right in front of the pulpit, and they were going crazy, and he went behind that curtain, and he pulled out this big snake. It was kind of weird that the preacher would do this, but he pulled out this big snake, and he came right from the curtain, and they all scattered, and he said, if you could see sin for what it really is, you'd run too. But you don't see it when you're in the flesh. You just think it's just going to be a little ride here, and for long, you're on the ground. You're on the bottom, hoping to survive. Sin can throw you. Sin can hurt you. Sin can chase you. The Israelites, when they left Egypt to go to the Red Sea, to go to the Promised Land, Pharaoh got his horses out to chase them. They were walking, but he said, I'm going to catch them with these horses. And he chased them to the Red Sea. Sin has chased a lot of people in here. Many different situations, many different years. Some of you, sin chased you into the club. Sin chased you into the bar. Sin chased you into a relationship.
chased you into suicidal thoughts. Sin chased you into that mentality. Sin chased you into depression, into addiction, into fear, into doubt. Sin chased you into that. But aren't you thankful that there came a day that sin chased you into church?
Friday night, my wife and I, and
This has never happened, and this is my ninth year of evangelism. This has never happened. But on that night, I must have been very tired, and I was driving on the interstate, and I fell asleep at the wheel. And I woke up on the interstate. Don't know how long I was asleep. I know I was out, though, for a while. I woke up literally like this and scared the daylights out of me. And I went to the church, I've been thanking God a lot to be alive right now, honestly. And so I preached Sunday morning, Sunday night in this little church, and we had a few people be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and I was just going to go back to Florida. And say, the pastor said, "Can you come in Monday and Tuesday?" I said, "Yes." And so Monday night, I was in our church, and I heard this voice say, "I want you to preach on Holy Ghost and baptism again." And you know me, I preached here a bunch. You know, I usually do it on Sunday mornings. And I didn't want to do that. I said, "No, there's not many visitors there." I got this other message. It's really fun to preach. It's got a lot of revelation. I'm feeling this. But the feeling kept getting stronger and stronger. So I obeyed God. Thank the Lord. Many times where I preached, I think I did obey God. But I obeyed God that day. And I preached, and there was maybe one or two guests. And I preached, and people were like, "Dude, you just preached that yesterday." Some were falling asleep. Some were mad. Some were folding their arms saying, "Oh my word, he doesn't know how to pray or study. Are we going to do this tomorrow night too? Yay." So I was just yelling, and they were watching. Some were watching. Some were walking out. And I got done, and I made the altar call. No one moved. No one got up. No one prayed. It was a really great atmosphere for miracles to happen. There was a lot of faith there. And so I looked back and I saw these two visitors that were in their 20s. And I said, "No, I'm just going to go back there. I'm just going to talk to them just because what have I to lose? I've already been a fool of myself in the whole church. So what have I to lose?" So I went back there and I talked to them and I said, "What's their names?" And they told me their names. And one of them was named Jonathan. He was 26. I said, "Jonathan, I think I was preaching to you. Have you been baptized in Jesus' name yet?" "No." He said, "My life's falling apart. I think my life's ending. It's just, my marriage is over. I have addictions. I just feel my life's falling apart." I said, "Man, you need God right now, Jonathan." He said, I know. I said, "You need to get baptized in Jesus' name. This is forever, man. You're going to go to heaven forever or hell forever one day." He said, I know. I said, "What's in the way?" He said, "Just the things I told you." I said, "Man, you can get through that right now. Let's go." He said, "Okay." So we went up there and we baptized him in Jesus' name. He came out of the water. He exploded out of the water, just talking in tongues. And God filled with the Holy Ghost. And everybody was so excited. And I ended the revival and I left. And I was just, wow, that was awesome. You know, Monday night. And then 30 days to the day, they found him dead. 26 years old. In his house. Had some crazy seizure. Had never been to church once in his life. Came to that Monday night service. I didn't fall asleep by accident on the wheel. I didn't hear that voice say, "Preach that on accident." God knew, the enemy knew, it was about time. The Bible said in John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus said this, "You must be born of the water and the Spirit to enter the kingdom of heaven." Listen, he didn't say you should. But except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter. So it's not an option. It's not if I get around to it. It's not if I have time. It's the most important thing. And it's more important than my wedding day, the birth of my child. And I think with a baby dedication, it's even more important than that. That was a beautiful dedication. That was gorgeous. But it's even more important than that. You being saved is more important than how much money you make, how big your job is, how much you can hook up with. You've got to be saved. That's the only thing that matters. You've got to make sure. Thank you.
28:19, Jesus said, go over and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
You better get baptized in Jesus' name. He did not say baptize him in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Home folks, you already know what I'm going to do. Just stay with me. He said you better baptize him in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And that's why in the Bible, nobody was baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Nobody was. It's not in there. But everywhere when they were baptized after that, they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Here's how you know. John 5, verse number 43. We all know what it is, but he said, I am come in my Father's name. Jesus said that. John 10, verse 30. I and my Father are one. John 14, verse 9. He has seen me. Brother Pace, his dad is here. Brother Pace is here. But just because you've seen Brother Pace before you've seen his dad does not mean you've seen his dad.
Right.
Before this morning, if you have not seen Brother Pace's dad, you could not say, well, I've seen Brother Pace, so I've seen his dad. No! They are two separate beings.
Right.
They are not one.
Right.
You can't say, because I've seen you, I've seen him. It's not true. You may look like him, act like him, have his genetics, but you are not him. Jesus said in John 8:24, if you believe not that I am he, you're going to die in your sins. He said, I am him. We are one. If you see me, you see him.
Right.
It's not, it wasn't three different people. The Bible said in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Right.
Ephesians 4:5-6, there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Not two, not 26, not 412.
Greater is he that is
in me than in it. So whatever that stuff attacks you, you've got something on the inside that's greater than whatever's attacking you, and it will fight back on top of that. You have to have it to be
tell her story, and her, oh, you can go online and check yourself.
He tells her a story of what she saw when she was there. I just want you to listen and hear what she said. She saw hell. She saw many famous people. She saw relatives. She was weeping and tormented at the things she saw. She saw the singer, Selena, who was murdered a few years ago. I promise you, you're not sleeping right now. And Selena, she said, was screaming, telling people to stop listening to my music. Every time you play my songs, I'm tormented more down here. Stop! She saw Michael Jackson being walked down a dark tunnel. She said these spirits were doing all these dance moves around him saying, sing, Michael, this is your new kingdom. Whatever you get on earth, you will do down here. Sing! Worship. She saw a famous religious leader who, if I called the name, you would know. And she said, why is he down here? And the voice said, because he knew the truth and did not preach it. She saw glimpses of heaven. She saw a lady with long hair. This lady, this girl didn't have the truth. This is how I know this is God. Didn't have the truth yet. She saw a lady in heaven with long hair worshiping at the feet of the throne. And the voice said, that's Mary. Tell the women, don't touch your glory. Mary has no idea they're worshiping her. Mary has no idea people are worshiping her down there. She's in my presence. I can tell you other things she saw that would make your hair stand up, your neck. My job is not to scare you. My job is to tell you the truth. We're going to go somewhere one day, guys. We're going to go to heaven or hell.
Right.
Believe it or not, you don't know what tomorrow holds or today holds, neither do I. And I promise you, when this ends, as of this moment, like me or hate me, it doesn't matter. You cannot stand before God and say, no one told me. You won't be able to.
Right.
Listen, I could preach any message I want. I could preach, we could shout, I promise you, we could have an awesome service. But if there's one person in here that the shouting wouldn't get to you and the goosebumps wouldn't stir you, but salvation is all over you right now, then I'm doing the will of God.
Amen.
If there's one person here that's not been baptized in Jesus' name, I'm doing the will of God.
Come on. Amen.
If there's one that's not received the Holy Ghost, or it's been a long time since you got it and you need it again, I'm doing the will of God right now.
Right.
So we must go to heaven. Listen, I don't want anybody in this room to go to hell. Especially me. I don't think we want you to go. I'd rather you get mad at me this morning, but do what's right. And thank me in heaven one day when you're on streets of gold worshiping Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed, but I want you all to pray with me right now. We're all going to repent of our sins. Every preacher, every elder, every mom, dad, young person, everybody, let's all repent right now. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me for every thought, every word, and every action. Every sin of my heart. Every sin of my mind. Every sin of my eyes. Every sin of my ears. Every sin of my mouth. Every sin in my past. Come on, pray it. Every sin in my past. Every emotional sin. every physical sin, every mental sin. I repent of all of my sins. I repent of every sin, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I can't repent for you. Only you can repent for you. You can't repent for me. You better pray with your own mouth. I've got to pray with mine.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Jesus' name. Look to your left and look to your right and ask both your neighbors if they're on either side, have you been baptized in Jesus' name yet? Answer the question honestly. If they said no, tell them it's time. If they said yes, and they might not be sure how they were baptized, it's time. Right. There are a lot of people that don't remember how they were baptized when they were kids. They don't remember. Listen, it's essential to know what name is over your life.
Right.
Is it Father covering you, or is it Jesus covering you?
Right.
Is it Son, or is it Jesus? I don't know who died for your sins, but on the cross that day, for my sin, was a man named Jesus, shed blood. And I want that name of that one on that cross in my life.
Yes.
The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run therein, and they are.
Right.
No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
Amen.
Nothing matters but going to heaven, y'all.
Right.
Listen, nothing matters. It don't matter how rich you get. It doesn't matter how awesome you are, how great looking you are, it doesn't matter. You have to be saved.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Matters. Last question. Look at your neighbor again and ask them, have you received the Holy Ghost yet? If they said yes, say when. If they say no, tell them it's time. You've not been baptized in Jesus' name yet, and you need your sins washed away today, I want you to come down here right now. If you're in this building and you've not been baptized in Jesus' name,
yes,
you know it's you that I'm talking to. I want you to come down here in Jesus' name. Right?
Yes. Hallelujah.
You've got robes and everything, so you don't worry about that. But if I'm talking to you, I'm going to wait. Here's what's going on right now, okay? Here's what's going on. Brother Bruce, can you grab Brother Pace's hand? If I was preaching to Brother Pace about being baptized and said Brother Brosen was the enemy and I was the Lord, I'm pulling this way right now. And the enemy's pulling that way right now. Okay? The enemy's saying, don't move. Don't go anywhere. It's not for you. You're not ready yet. And the preacher's saying, God, you can't get ready enough. God's trying to save you. I'll change things. Well, I can't. And the devil's saying, well, you can't live that way. You can't live that holy. But I can help you. I'll be patient with you. I'll give you time. I'll develop you. I'll love you. Don't worry about the future and the thing. If you mess up, I'll still be there for you. If you drop the ball, I'll still be there for you. If you make your game, I'll still be there for you. And the devil's saying, no, don't move. Don't move. And that's what's going on right now with somebody. Who will win the war in your life?
Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Who's going to win the battle? You decide. Are you going left or are you going right? Are you going to take your chances or are you going to make sure?
Right.
You've not been baptized. Come up here right now. I'm going to ask the Holy Ghost all upon me right now. Who are you? Who are you? I'm waiting on you. I'm going to pull with everything I have in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't want anybody to be lost. 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 Is there anybody out there? Is there anybody?
I can see people talking with people. Is there anybody at all? Don't let him die in vain. He only died for one reason. To save us from our sins.
Amen.
Is there anybody at all that will obey the Lord
in the name of Jesus?
Get your sins washed away. In Jesus' name. You're in here. I know you're in here. There are at least five of you in here right now. You're in here. You're not here by accident this morning. It's on purpose you're here. Trust me, it's on purpose you're here right now. The Spirit is pulling, and the enemy is pulling. And there's warfare like I've never felt. You've got warfare all night long last night. Somebody's here on purpose. Who are you? Who are you? You won't regret this, but who are you? Who are you in the name of Jesus? In the name of Jesus. Once you move, the rest will follow. Once you move, those that are intimidated will move behind you. But someone's got to break that ice this morning. And break that hole in your life. And say, I'm not taking a chance on eternity with the enemy.
Right now.